right into the Word as we share a brand new mini-series, Sent. And this is part of our Givetober celebration. This month, not only are we going to hear from God's Word, but we're going to hear from God's servants. We are thrilled to be able to have one of our mission partners, Stan Andenby. He'll be with us in 2 weeks, sharing what God is doing through Wycliffe Translators. And then I just confirmed this week, it hadn't been planned, but I received a phone call from one of our directors from the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada in Mississauga. For those who may not be aware, our church is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies, which is a national fellowship of 1,200 churches from coast to coast to coast, all sharing the same vision and mission: to love God, love people, and live on mission. And this is our purpose. And I received a call from Charles Hermelink, who gives one of the directors of Mission Canada. Mission Canada is part of the PAOC's local mission program that supports college and university students, who supports people going to minister to youth, children, and the next generation, to those serving in the inner cities, in Quebec, and in our to the new Canadians coming to this country, particularly those who are Muslim. And he's going to have an incredible story to tell us what God is doing in Canada. We hear so much of the bad of what's happening in this country, but I want you to know that God is at work. And if when we take time to pray, God shows us where he is at work in this country, in our cities. And I can't wait to hear what Charles is going to be able to share with us. Well, today and next week, we are in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. And following the message, we will have communion. And I trust you've already picked up your communion emblems. For those who desire gluten-free, we have those available as well. They are on the welcome table or in the balcony there for you. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1 through verse 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost house of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the word of the Lord for us today. You may be seated. Over the next few weeks, we're going to discover what it really means to be on mission, to be commissioned by Jesus, to be empowered by his Spirit, to be compelled by his love. And so today, I want to share with you where it all starts. You are all called and commissioned. Everyone in this room, not just the person standing behind the pulpit, not just the person who prophesies, not just the person who leads in worship, but every person in this room who knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are commissioned and called by God to be on mission for Him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt underqualified? Maybe you were asked to lead something, to speak at a Bible study, or take on a task that felt way bigger than you. Maybe your first instinct was, who, me? Surely you've got the wrong person, Pastor. Well, if that's you, then you're not alone. I think that's exactly how most of Jesus' first disciples felt when he initially called them. Jesus didn't call the elite or socially powerful. He called fishermen, tax collectors, right-wing political zealots, and normal people just like you and me. Well, maybe like you. And what did he do with them? He sent them out to change the world. And in the same way, Jesus sends us into the world as he was sent. Ordinary people, carrying out his extraordinary message of peace, forgiveness, and hope to a broken world. And that's the heartbeat of this message series I've called Sent. Jesus didn't just call us to follow him, he called us to go for him, to move from comfort to calling, from spectators to being sent ones. Very first point I want us to understand. As we go out on mission, I want you to hear this, that Jesus calls the unqualified. Look at verses 1 and 2. Jesus called his disciples, 12 disciples to him, and the word disciple simply means a follower, a student, a mentoree. They were followers of Jesus, and that's what you and I are today. We are disciples, followers of Jesus. Initially, he called 12. There were up to several hundred at one point who were following him, but these were the 12 that he handpicked who would lay the foundation of what later would be the church and would spread the gospel throughout the world. He called the 12 disciples to them and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. And these are their names. I love it that Matthew includes their names, because each name carries a story. These weren't the religious elites, the political power players, or theological scholars. They were ordinary people with messy backstories. For instance, there was Peter, bold and passionate, and at the same time impulsive to a fault. There was Matthew, a tax collector. Need I say more? Simon the Zealot. Essentially, he was a political radical, dreaming of overthrowing the Romans. Then there was Thomas, the one who would later doubt Jesus' resurrection. And of course, the infamous Judas Iscariot. These were real people, full of flaws, full of failures, and yet Jesus called them anyway. Why? Because Jesus doesn't just call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, so that no one may boast before him. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here in Matthew chapter 10. He wasn't recruiting resumes of the top 40 under 40. No, he was calling men, people who just had a heart to want to serve God. later in Acts chapter 4, verse 4:13, Peter and John stand before the religious authorities, and Dr. Luke records that they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Did you catch that? It wasn't their education, their background, their skill. It wasn't all that. Their pedigree that amazed people. It was their connection to Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And that's what he calls you and me. He's not calling all the highly educated, although that is important. And he will call the highly educated. He will not call the ultra wealthy, although he will. It's not that which gets Jesus' attention. What gets Jesus' attention is the hearts of men and women who simply will say, God, I am here. Will you use me? And this is where it hits home. Maybe you're here this morning and you've disqualified yourself. Maybe you think your story is too messy or your skills are too small. Maybe you've convinced yourself that God can't use you. But listen, listen to Pastor this morning. If you've been with Jesus, you're exactly the kind of person that God longs and loves to use and send. Because God's message has never depended on your ability, it depends on your availability. Jesus calls the unqualified, and secondly, Jesus equips the willing. In Matthew 10, verse 1, we are told that Jesus gave his disciples authority. Now, this is huge. Don't miss this. He just didn't send them out with good intentions and a motivational pep talk. He gave them spiritual authority and power to do the work he called them to do. And here's the good news. He still does that today. When he sends you and I out, he doesn't send us out just with tracts to hand to people in downtown Victoria. No, he sends us out with his authority, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to tell people what he wants them to know and to do the works of Jesus. Matthew uses the word disciple, but then he switches to the word apostle. Now, I don't want you to get all hung up with the word apostle. Yes, these were the 12 men apostles who would lay the foundation of what would become the church that is continually going to this day. Nor do I want you to get hung up with the idea that, you know, God is called apostles and listen, I don't have time to go into all of what that means. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, it speaks of gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And some of you may be here to say, well, I'm not an apostle, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not any of these things, so I can just sit back and just relax and not have to worry about doing anything. Listen, that's not what the Word of God is telling us. That's not what Jesus is saying to us. The word apostle simply means sent one. And if you are a follower of Jesus, if you know Jesus, then he has placed a call on your life and he is sending you. You are his sent one. The church is God's sent ones into the world to bring his message of hope, of life, of salvation, of healing, of deliverance. And he gives us authority. He doesn't call us to hierarchical offices. He calls us to a joint mission together. We are sent with authority. What does this authority encompass? First of all, it's authority over spiritual enemies. He gave his initial disciples authority over spiritual demons and powers and principalities. He gave them authority over illness to pray for the sick and to see people set free by the power of God. But we've also been given another authority, and that is the authority to take his message to our world. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. My friends, each and every one of us, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple, God has called you to go. He is sending you out to go with his authority to bring his message of hope, to bring peace and deliverance to those who are bound by Satan's bondages. He has called us with his authority to go and set people free from disease. He has called us today. Every person in this room, everyone, has been given that calling and authority. Oh, no, Pastor, not me. Not little old me. You can't mean me. Pastor, you know, that's okay. You've been through 4 years of Bible college and a few months of seminary. You've got it all right, Pastor. No, not me. No, it's got to be Kinz and Kathy. I mean, look how awesome they play and they lead in worship. Lord, you've called them. No, not me, Pastor. No, he's called you. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. It reminds us that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a plan for you. It's a great plan. It's a plan that he has equipped you for. God's called you, and he's prepared the way ahead for you. You're not stepping into unknown territory alone. You're stepping into work that God has been preparing since before you were born. And if that feels intimidating and scareful, good, because it should. It should put you right on your face before God and trusting in him. Following Jesus often leads us into places where we feel underqualified, unprepared, and outmatched. But that's exactly where he wants us, because that's where we need to be to depend on him. 2 Peter 1:3 says it this way. His divine power has given us everything. Say everything. He's given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us. This has been the story of the church for over 2,000 years and throughout all biblical history. God uses ordinary, willing men and women to accomplish his extraordinary mission. St. Augustine once said, God does not choose people because they're worthy, but by choosing them, he makes them worthy. And that's the pattern we see again and again and again and again throughout the Word of God. He equips the willing. So maybe God's been nudging you towards something. Maybe it's to start a home Bible study or a new outreach ministry to the community. Maybe it's stepping into some form of leadership or sharing your faith with that person at work. Maybe it's to simply be part of our next gen and children's church ministry on Sundays. Whatever it is, don't let those feelings of being underqualified scare you. If God is calling you, he will equip you. Well, maybe it's just too big for me. Well, that's the point. He's not asking you to muster up the strength on your own. God is inviting you to lean on His strength, in His Spirit, and in His power, who is working in and through you. So let me ask you, are you willing? Are you able? If so, He'll equip you and even give you His divine purpose and power to fulfill the call that's on your life. Jesus calls the unqualified, He equips the willing, and finally, He sends with purpose. I love how intentional Jesus is here. Look at verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 10. As those first three words, underline them, circle them, put asterisks around them. As you go. As you go. In a few minutes, we'll be taking communion, and then we'll be having fellowship. You'll leave this building, and you'll be going home to your family, to work, to school, to start another week. What do those three words mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we wait another week until next Sunday, or to Wednesday home group, or to youth group on Wednesday night, that we fulfill God's call. No, it is from the moment we leave this place to wherever God places us, at work, at school, in our wherever it is, as we go, wherever it is, each and every day, proclaim the message, the kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick, freely you have received, freely give. What does it mean to proclaim the kingdom of God? Basically, it's saying, for them, they were proclaiming to Israel that Messiah was coming. For us, we are also saying, Messiah, Jesus has come, and He is coming again. But as we wait in His presence. And this is how we know that He's coming. We're proclaiming now that hope and freedom and deliverance and salvation has come and is here for each and every one who would trust and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's calling us today to put our faith in Him, to let Him be the Lord of our lives, to live for Him instead of ourselves. And that's how we're part of His kingdom. You hear the clarity in that? It's not random. Jesus didn't send His disciples out just to be nice people. No, He didn't say go to blend into the culture. No, He gave them a mission, a God-shaped assignment to proclaim, heal, restore, and serve others. Then in John 20:21, after He rose from the dead, Jesus says something completely mind-boggling to His disciples. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. He's sending you today. He's called you. He's anointed you. And He's sending you. Romans 10:14-15 says, how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Beautiful feet. That's what Scripture calls the ones who go, the ones who carry the hope of Jesus into dark places. And this is where it gets personal, friends. Your life is not a waiting room for heaven. You're not here today biding your time, waiting for the trumpet to call and rapture us all to heaven. No. God has strategically placed you in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, in your condo, in your friend group. There are people already in your path this week who need to experience the grace, the healing, and the truth of Jesus through you. And for this, you don't need a pulpit to preach. Sometimes proclaiming the kingdom looks like praying with a coworker who's overwhelmed. Sometimes it looks like simply putting your arm around someone who's just lost a loved one and just being there. Sometimes it looks like sitting with a friend in their pain and offering hope when they have none. That's what it means to be sent. Let me give you one final quote from St. Augustine. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. In other words, God chooses to partner with his people to accomplish his purpose. You are part of his plan. You are his hands, feet, and voice, and presence in the places God places you. So let me ask you, as we come to conclusion and the worship team can return to the platform, where has God already placed you to be a witness? Who in your path this week needs to see the kingdom? Not just hear about it. What conversations, what interruptions, what opportunities might God use in you to bring his love close? Friends, the risen Christ didn't gather his disciples in that locked upper room simply to comfort them. He commissioned them. And his words still echo to us today. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This means that following Jesus isn't just about believing something. It's about becoming someone. Someone who carries his peace, offers his forgiveness, and lives out his hope wherever we go. You are sent into your homes, your workplace, your schools, your neighborhoods, not by accident, but on purpose to live on mission. Before you leave today, there are two questions you need to ask yourself. Number one, have you received the good news of the kingdom for yourself? Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? If not, what's holding you back? Why not leave here today knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you have a home in heaven? So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me today, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Like to invite you to pray this prayer from your heart. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose again the third day. I turn from my life of selfishness and sin. By faith, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You promised to save me, and I believe you, because you are God and cannot lie. I believe right now that the Lord Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, that all my sins are forgiven through his precious blood. I thank you, dear Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like you to do something for me. I'd like you to, at the welcome table, there is a book called What's Next. I would like you to pick that up. That's free for you. And I'd like you to connect with someone. It could be myself, could be Pastor Sue, or maybe one of our elders. And we would love to be able to help you grow in your faith. If you are watching online and you prayed that prayer, we would love to be able to help you. And if you would just send us a note that you prayed that prayer, and we will send you the same literature. And we would love to be able to help you get connected into the family of God. Well, that's the first question. Second question is this. Where is God sending you today? Or make it personal. Where is God sending me today and this week? Lord, what do you want me to say to them? Here's the good news. He doesn't send you alone. Just as the Father equipped the Son, Jesus equips us with the Holy Spirit. That's why next week we'll lean into the truth. When God sends, He also empowers. But today, I want you to all be willing to say, will you step into the mission that God's given you? If you haven't already done so, you can, well, Kins and the team are leading in this song. You can pick up your, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless. Coffee is on.